This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking with the Old Trailblazer Broadcast, where we go out blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And we're just staying with Thus Saith the Lord, bringing you these studies time after time. We're bringing you a study today, or have been for the last two or three times, on God's sovereignty over His creation. We've seen how the Lord created, how God created the world. He created the animals and the plant life and created man. And He's sovereign over all of those things, my friend. Sovereign over the sea, sovereign over the wind, sovereign over all things, my friend. And listen, let me also remind you that the heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon and the stars, they all rule by the heavenly Creator according to His sovereign pleasure. In 2 Kings 20, we have a story of the illness of old King Hezekiah, who was sick unto death. Let's look there. The old prophet Isaiah had told him that he was going to die. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. There in Isaiah 38:2, the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and sent and told him that he would live and that the Lord had added to his life 15 years. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall the sign be that the Lord will heal me? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord. The shadow will return backwards 10 degrees. And he brought a shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Found there in 2 Kings 20, 9 through 11. What a staggering truth regarding the sovereignty of God. I wish you folks wouldn't cast off God's word as some little something that man put together. No, this is God's word. What a staggering truth there. We see him here superseding all the natural laws of the universe and turning them back in their courses 10 degrees or 40 minutes. Isn't that marvelous that the sovereign God, the creator of this universe who upholds it with the word of his own power, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Then in Matthew 2:9, we see that God caused a star to herald his own Son's birth, which appeared to wise men in the east and went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. Now, my friend, that star was in the hands of a sovereign God. That star was created by God. That star moved and had its being in the sovereignty of God. Look, let's look at some other places in God's word and see how God declares his sovereignty over the earth and all of the elements. Let's look at Psalms 147, 15 through 18. Let me read those verses to you. Now listen to the word of God. We can't go wrong, my friend, staying with God's word. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word, it melteth them. He causes his wind to blow, and the waters flow. The changing of all the elements are beneath God's sovereign control, my friend. It's God who withholds the rain, gives the rain when and where and as he will, on whomsoever he will. The weather bureaus can give a forecast of the weather, but many times God mocks their calculations and changes things as he pleases. Sunspots and varying activities of the planet, the appearing and disappearing of comets which seem to cause abnormal weather and atmospheric disturbances, all are purely secondary causes, for behind all of these, God himself, ruling and governing and directing as it pleases him. This is so clearly set forth in the book of Amos 4, 7 through 10. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. The two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not now returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the pale worm devoured them. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt, Young men have us slain with the sword, have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camp to come up before your nostrils. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Here we see the air and the fire and the water and the hail and the storm, the angry seas, pestilence, and so on. All are under God's divine sovereign will, which he directs according to his own sovereign power and sovereign grace and sovereign pleasure. I know that, my friend. I know that we're living in a day when man thinks he's so big. He thinks he's somebody come. He thinks he can do this and do that and do the other. We see these fellows now going into space. I think that's a marvelous thing. But do they ever give God one ounce of glory? No. No, they don't even say the intelligence that the Lord gives them comes from the Lord. They just brag on themselves. Listen, folks, I know we're living in a day of unrest and confusion and upheaval. Men's hearts are failing because of fear, because of the things which come upon the earth. And the question is being asked now in every quarter, has God forgotten this earth? And the answer is no. No, he hadn't forgotten the earth. Would you just take time out and remember that the Lord is over all? The Lord is over all. That's right. Why should I have to defend God's integrity? Why should I have to come here and defend the sovereignty of God? It should behoove each one of us to agree that God is sovereign, my friend. If God wasn't sovereign, this world would be in chaos. He holds the world together by his sovereignty. That's exactly right. All the elements, all the creatures of his creation, which include man, are under his direct control. You may not want to believe that. You may think good luck, bad luck, all of those things. But listen, he moves everything according to his own will and his own pleasure. No doubt you'll want to fling back into my face the question, that being so, why doesn't God stop this? Or why doesn't God stop the hurricanes? Or why doesn't he change this? The answer to your impertinent question is, as to set forth in Romans 9:20, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed us, why hast thou made me thus? The attitude that every man should have towards God is one of submission. Now, that's what happens when God saves a sinner. When the Lord saves a sinner, that old will is broken. Did you know, my friend, God's child acknowledges God in everything, in the day, in the night, in the sun, in the moon? There's the acknowledgement at God. That's right. That's right. With a broken will and a contrite spirit, with that unconditional surrender, resting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where we find every child of God. Thank the Lord. I know that God is that I'm talking about. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know what it means to rest at the feet of the Lord, completely yielded to him. Do you? I know what it means to rest completely upon the mercy of Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Son of God, delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit, translated into the kingdom of his Son. I know what it means to walk by his side as his child, here day by day in this work, bringing the message, bringing the gospel, being true to the soul of men, and then to be embraced in his arms as my heavenly Father, to look up into his face at night when I lay on my bed, or other times during the day, sitting back in my chair, looking up in the face of the Lord, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is the sovereign, eternal God of the Bible, at whom we worship. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know Christ? If not, will you let the Holy Spirit break that stubborn, rebellious, wicked spirit? Do you know where that'll lead, where that leads to, my friend? Oh, if you can chomp 10 penny nails in two and say, I'll not have this man to rule over me, and do like the young ruler that came to the Lord one day and say, what must I do to be saved? And he said, obey the commandments, this and that. And the young ruler said, all these I've kept from my youth up. And he said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. And he said he went away grievous because he had much possessions. Now, my friend, the Lord put his finger on a rotten spot in his life. And sometimes that's what the Lord does here at the Old Trailblazer message, in the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Many times in our services here, the Lord leads me to put my finger on a rotten spot in your life. Maybe it's so. Maybe you're catting around with somebody else's wife. Maybe the deacons are catting around with the piano player. And all of those things, my friend. You know what? Listen, did you know religion is nothing Did you know there's more adultery going on now in the religious world than there is in anywhere else, under the cover of darkness? My friend, we don't have anybody stand up now and call sin, sin. No, we don't. We don't have anybody calling sin, sin in this nation. I hear preachers all over this nation on their national broadcast. I don't hear them say one thing about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. I don't hear them say it. I just hear a little smooth 20-minute little sermonette and give a little invitation to trust Jesus, my friend. That's just a born in hell. That's not God's salvation. Salvation is trusting the Lord, coming to the Lord as a broken, poor, downhearted sinner, being shown himself by the Holy Spirit that he's worthless and guilty and vile and having sinned against the holy God. And then to come to the Lord seeking mercy. My friend, have you ever asked for mercy? Have you ever sought mercy from the Lord? You stand in need of mercy. We don't have anything to brag about. We don't have anything to hold up our heads for. No, my friend. We're just a poor old beggar on the dunghill. Did you know every poor sinner becomes a beggar before the Lord saves him? That's right. Comes to be just a poor old beggar. That's what the old trailblazer is this morning. Just an old beggar saved by the grace of God. One day I was on the outside. Like those lepers, I was standing outside the gate, crying, unclean, unclean, unclean. And the Lord saved me, and washed me, and cleansed me whiter than snow. Gave me grace to trust him. You say, Pastor, how does the Lord save a sinner? He breaks him down at his feet, showing himself, and then gives you grace to trust the Lord. Trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. Did you know Christ died for sinners? Did you ever read the scripture where it said Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost? How did he save them? By dying for them. How did he seek them? Day by day, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter whom the Lord sent here when he went away. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. The Holy Spirit's work is to seek out, to search out those whom the Lord has elected unto salvation. You say, oh, Pastor, don't start on that doctrine of election this morning. But listen, my friend, if the Lord hadn't have chosen you, you'd never be saved. If he hadn't have chosen me, I never would have been saved. If he hadn't have chosen the old trailblazer back there many years ago, he wouldn't have been saved. No one comes to the Lord except the Father draw him. Did you know that? You don't make a decision to come to Christ. Christ doesn't stand before you to be accepted or rejected. You stand there, stripped. As a poor old sinner, my friend. Oh, if we just knew and would acknowledge the sovereignty of God, how much greater life we would live, my friend. To just acknowledge that Christ is sovereign. The Lord is sovereign. He does as he pleases. He doesn't have to ask you or me for anything. And I wish you'd stay tuned. Tune in next time at this same time, same station, for another Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer.
And then remember the Old Trailblazer's address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.